Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to the San Diego Center for Spiritual Living. Today we want to anchor ourselves in this one truth, just one little teeny tiny thing. There is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And I call this God, the Living Spirit Almighty. One absolute, indestructible, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And every Sunday, this anchors us, this little teeny tiny thing, the infinite presence, because we know that Spirit knows neither large nor small, not big, not little, not dark, not light. Spirit is absolutely everything. Absolutely everything. So today we're going to be talking about Something's Calling Me. And we had an opportunity to hear that beautiful song by Jamie Lula, Something's Calling Me, a little bit deeper. And he mentioned that something is calling him. He's been in this like dark night of the soul. And through that, he gets an inkling that he's no longer stable. He wants, something's calling him to move, spiritually move. And he asks in there, if God is everything and everywhere that I belong, Spirit gently wakes me from my sleep. And everybody sang, something's calling me a little bit deeper than I've ever been before. Well, what on earth could be calling him? Only Spirit could be calling him. I have something from Ernest Holmes that I'd like to share with you this morning. It's on page 343.3 in the Science of Mind textbook. Now, the Science of Mind textbook was written by Ernest Holmes, who is also the founder of the religious science movement. And it is what we believe is an excellent and comprehensive description of the teachings of the Science of Mind. Ernest says, "The only God man knows is the God of his own inner life. He can know no other. To assume that man can know a God outside himself is to assume that he can know something of which he cannot be conscious. That does not mean that man is God. It means that the only God that man knows is within. And the only life man has is from within. God is not external, but is indwelling at the very center of man's life. This is why Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is within, and why he prayed, Our Father, which art in heaven. The kingdom of heaven is within. Our Father, which art in heaven. Our Father, which art within. The divine presence that is that very life force within us. The voice that is that inner voice that speaks to us. Ernest Holmes said something else, and it's on the next page, 344.2, and Mark referenced this, Reverend Mark referenced this in his quotes this morning. The highest mental practice is to listen to this inner voice and to declare its presence. Listen to the inner voice and declare its presence. I know that there is the divine within me. I know that this wisdom within me has a voice and speaks to me not through the ears, but through the heart, through the spirit. He says, the greater a man's consciousness of this indwelling I am, the more fully he will live. This will never lead to illusion, but will always lead to reality. never lead to illusion, always lead to reality. What that means is when we're listening to the inner voice, we recognize that it's a different inner voice than the ego, than the inflated sense of bloated nothingness. This is truly the inner spirit, the inner presence of the divine. When we listen, we really can distinguish and discern a different quality and a different character to that which we are hearing. For one thing, the inner presence will never, ever guide you to do anything harmful. It will never guide you to betray, to steal, to lie. It will never, ever guide you to do any of the human things that the ego can sometimes convince you is okay because the ends justify the means. The inner voice is all about the means. It's all about the means. It's all about being present, feeling the fullness of life, feeling the hope, the love, the light, the expansiveness, the brightness. Ernest Holmes says, "All great souls have known this and have constantly striven to let the mind of God express through their mentalities. Quote, the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." That's a biblical quote. This was the declaration of the great master, and it should be ours also. Not a limited sense of life, but a limitless one. We are limitless. There are no limits to our life experience. The inner life is that which also animates our outer life. Without the inner life, we would just be mannequins. But it's that inner life that moves us. And with this month of inspiration and this year of living a spiritual life, today as we speak about something's calling me, we now have an idea of what that is calling us. It is the inner voice. It is the inner knowing. Everyone has a calling. Everyone has a calling. It's why you're here. It's what is yours to be. So if you ask yourself, why am I here? It's because you have a calling. What is mine to be? Whatever your calling is. Everyone's calling is not the same. Everyone is unique, therefore everyone has a unique calling. And it is in listening, in paying attention, in being aware that we can see the thread of that calling woven through our life in all circumstances. Sometimes we're closer to it, sometimes we're further away. But as we are moving through our life, as we are feeling that life force in its most powerful, when we are our most loving, when we are our most joyful, this is when we are closest to our calling. One of the ways that we can figure out clues to what is our calling is to think about, what did we do as a child? What was it that we did? What were we willing to do even though we were going to get punished for it? There is an inner knowing that this is mine to be and do. It is very powerful as children. So when a child lives out in the country and wants to run, and they run and they run and they run, and their parents say, sit down, be still. And still they want to run. Maybe they run around the house 10 times, but they run, they run, and they run. And they wind up as an adult being an Olympic runner. There's a thread. Perhaps there's a child that sings, just kind of nattering on, humming, singing, making up songs as a small child. And occasionally we'll have parents that say, honey, that's enough. Could you just be 5 minutes? We're going to play a game, 5 minutes of silence. Can you sit still and be quiet for 5 minutes? I tried that with my kids. I think I actually got near to 60 seconds once. And it didn't help to have them watch the clock and see the second hand going around. They just, you know, okay, that was the limit of how long they could sit still without speaking or be quiet without moving. So you have a child that starts singing or dancing or whatever. This is their natural way of expression. This is their true life that they are moving and expressing. And what happens? They grow up to be incredible dancers or singers, ballerinas, opera stars, rock music stars. My husband, Reverend John. The kid was all music, singing, humming, writing his own stories, learning how to play the piano. And then he picked up a guitar one day, and that was it. No more piano lessons, just guitar. All his life, in and out, these little things, garage bands, playing with others, being a session musician, being so involved in the world of music and the people who made the music. And what happened? He turned out to be a rock star and what we call a musician's musician, meaning his work was admired by other musicians. So, what is calling you? What did you do as a child that you were willing to do even if you got in trouble for it? That's clue number one. Another clue is when throughout our life, we seem to see the same opportunity showing up over and over again. And we deny that opportunity over and over again. And it continues to show up. Because that's our path, that's our journey, that's our calling. So we're continually getting these little nudges. And it isn't until we become very uncomfortable in where we are in our life that we sometimes will then move forward, will then take a look at what is calling me. There are a couple of things that can hold us back from moving forward within the spiritual expansion of our calling. And the biggest one is doubt. Who am I to think that I can be, do, say, accomplish, earn, become famous? Who am I? And yet we know from, I believe it's Marianne Williamson, that who are you to not fully express your divine expression? Who are you to deny spirit? Who are you to doubt that spirit is moving through you to simply express itself fully? And in light of that question, it's, well, I'm just me. Well, no, you're not just you. You are spirit expressing. You are the divine expressing through and as your unique human self. But that unique human self has within it that essence of the divine. Each one of us has a fire in our hearts for something. It's our goal in life to find it and to keep it. So whatever that fire in our heart is, the one that moves us, that stirs us, that gets us so excited that we just want to jump up and down and squeal with glee, it's our goal in life, our spiritual goal, to follow this path, follow this journey, and be part of the journey. Because what is calling us is this journey. We are on this journey to be that which we can be. In the song, Something's Calling Me, Jamie Lula says, "Take me deeper than I've ever been before. Oh Lord, oh Lord, pull me deeper than I've ever been before." Take me, pull me. So we want to know what is calling you, what is pulling you to become something greater, deeper. What is pushing you away from what you are to move you into your calling? In his song, he also says, "I surrender my life to you. I give my life and give my love to you." Speaking of spirit, surrender is not a giving up. It's a stopping fighting. So I'm going to stop fighting against what I'm being called to do, to be. I am giving my life and giving my love, but I'm not giving it randomly. I am experiencing this in my calling, and as part of all of our calling, there is the sharing of love and the sharing of life. That's simply part of anybody's calling. This last week, I happened to listen to a talk by my sister's evangelistic Christian minister. What impressed me with her talk was the concepts. She could have called her talk "Something's Calling Me." She didn't. She called it something else. But she talked with biblical words. And one of the things she said was, "He who has ears to hear that inner voice that has been guiding you should listen." Ears to hear. Those were biblical words. And so people would say, "He who has ears to hear," and then they'd tell the story. And what that meant was, here's my story. But if you have the awareness, you will understand that there's a greater meaning to this story. She also said, "The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few." Now, what that means is everywhere there is abundance, everywhere there is goodness, there is substance, there is supply, there is everything we need. And yet, how many of us actually move, respond, answer the calling to the greatness that is sitting there waiting for us? There's more than enough for everyone. How many people are still sitting on their hands instead of getting up and gathering and sharing and being? If you're not sure what your calling is, we can do a treatment, a spiritual mind treatment. Make it a part of your spiritual practice. And it's not so much that we want to treat for my calling, whatever my calling is. What we want to treat for is clarity. Treat for clarity. In that treatment, we want to recognize our inner voice so that we know it's there, but we want to consciously recognize it. And that clarity will allow us to recognize it. We want no delays, no distractions, and no doubts. So we can say, I am clear that it is the here and now. I am clear there are no delays because God is not delayed. There are no doubts because Spirit is not doubtful of itself. There are no distractions because I am focused on the one truth. We can treat for grace. Grace is the activity of Spirit. So when Spirit is moving through us, we are in a state of grace. We can treat for living the divine vision of our life. We do visionings in the Science of Mind. And we've done them for the church. We've done them for other people. We've done them for ourselves. And what it is identifying what is Spirit's greatest idea of this person, this purpose, this situation. What is Spirit's greatest idea? So we can live the divine vision. And we can call ourselves to do that through faith. In faith, I know that I am living my divine vision. I am living that which is mine to be. We can let go of that which no longer serves. We can clear ourselves out of our own way on our spiritual journey. We don't want to be the boulder blocking our own path. We can call for a renewal of our vision, our hope, our purpose, our destiny, our inner life, and our health. All of this is supporting us in answering that call, because we all have been called. We all have been called. I saw something yesterday, and so I tossed it in here. It says, making a big life change can be scary. Making a big life change can be scary. But know what's even scarier? Regret. Regret. Wishing we had done something. Being sorry we didn't do something. Thinking, what if? Woulda, coulda, shoulda. So what is holding us back from answering our calling? Us. Nobody's holding you back but you. Nobody's holding you back. So if you are in alignment with that which I've said so far, please take your hand, place it over your heart, and repeat after me. Today, love keeps calling me. Faith keeps calling me. Compassion keeps calling me. I am grateful for all that keeps calling me. A little bit deeper than I've ever been before. And so it is. And so we have spoken our word. That's a powerful word. That's a really powerful word. Prepare for great movement within you as you open to the love, the faith, the compassion, all these things that are calling you, because they are the truth, the absolute truth of who you are. The Sufi poet Rumi said, do you know what you are? So we've got the truth of who you are. Do you know what you are? You are the divine presence activating this human body, which is made up of the divine presence, living on this planet, which is made up of the divine presence in this universe, which is the divine presence. You are part of God. You are unique, absolute, one-of-a-kind expression of the divine right here, right now. And it's not going away. Spirit is not abandoning you. You are spirit in action. Rocco Errico in the Science of Mind magazine has an article, Heaven on Earth, Part 4. And in it, he says, God's counsel and presence are always with the human family. Spiritual renewal of body, heart, mind, and soul for everyone is the only way we can experience heaven on earth. The kingdom of heaven is within. We experience heaven on earth by experiencing the Father within, the inner voice. I have a quick little story I want to share with you. It's a true story, and it's about inspiration. There was a man who lived in New Jersey, and one day in the sweltering heat wave, his trash truck was coming by. Now in San Diego, truck drives by, it's air conditioned, and the mechanical arm comes out and picks up the can, dumps it in the back. They still have people on the trucks in New Jersey. So you have a staff, and in a heat wave, they're out. They're picking up the cans, dumping the cans in the big thing on the front that then lifts and pours it into the back. Well, it was a heat wave, and his garbage men came up, and they were sweating profusely. They were pale. He was so concerned for them. He ran inside, got a big jug of water and a bunch of plastic glasses, brought it out, and gave them water until they felt better. And they were so thankful. And that afternoon, he was inspired. First, he was inspired to give them water. Then he was inspired to be giving, to do a part of his calling, which was service for others. And he went down to the grocery store and he bought cases of water and a cooler and blocks of ice, and he put out a cooler in his front yard with blocks of ice and bottles of water. And he told the garbage men, "This is so you guys can get some cold water." Now, eventually, it wasn't just the garbage men. It was mailmen, Department of Public Works people, cops, firefighters, construction workers. People would come during the summer months when he had this cooler out there. When he was 57, he died suddenly in a March. And as the summer came on, his wife realized they were having another heat wave. And through her grief, she remembered all the good things that her husband did and the impact he made on others through his good works. And that inspired her to drag herself out of the house one day to buy cases of water to fill Charlie's cooler. And she left a note with the cooler with a picture on it of her husband, and a note that he'd passed away, and she promised to do her best to continue to provide bottled water. She was honoring his calling. What she didn't realize is this so inspired their neighborhood, their community. People started bringing things and donating water and donating ice and donating snacks into Charlie's cooler. Other people started setting up coolers in their own yards so that if the public workers were so hot, they could get water in various different places. One day, the wife, Velvet, got a surprise. A garbage truck came to her house and it stopped. Every man got off the truck, including the driver, and they stood in a straight line together and they saluted Velvet, the wife, and their home. They were in tears. She was in tears. They each came to hold her hand and to give her a hug, to express condolences, and to share their gratitude for the thoughtfulness and the appreciation that Charlie had shown them over the years. These are the things, the kind things, that touch people and make a huge difference in their lives. When it seems to us as if we're just being normal. Well, anybody would do this. No, it takes you. It takes somebody special. So the rest of the story is that there became a hashtag. Hashtag Charlie's Cooler. And people in other towns and states started putting out coolers with ice and water during the summer. And the wife, Velvet, hopes that the Charlie's Cooler hashtag will gain momentum until it is a nationwide movement of kindness. A movement of kindness. So Charlie was called. He'd been doing kind things for others for years. But that day when he saw the overheated garbage men, he was called to take specific action to relieve their suffering. Not everything is that dramatic. Then again, giving water to a garbage man? Is that really dramatic? No, it's not. So let us remember that we all have a calling. There is within our heart that deep yearning to fully express the divine essence as we truly are intended to. There is a unique activity, purpose, inner knowing, inner being for each one. And I know for each and every one here that you are called. You are truly called to that which is yours to be. And so it is. And I thank you for your time and your attention. Namaste.